This is Mulberry Christian Radio with a global news report. Ending August 23rd. President Donald Trump announced the deployment of two U.S. nuclear submarines to undisclosed locations in response to what he called a highly provocative statement made by former President Dmitry Medvedev, now the deputy chairman of Russia's Security Council. And UN staff revolt against Guterres' reform plan in rare non-confidence vote. Nearly 600 United Nations employees have passed a rare non-confidence vote against Secretary General Antonio Guterres, Deputy Secretary General Guy Ryder, and the controversial UN 80 reform plan aimed at overhauling the organization ahead of its 80th anniversary. China's tightening grip on the export of critical minerals has thrown U.S. defense manufacturers into crisis mode, delaying weapons production, driving up costs, and exposing the Pentagon's deep dependence on Beijing for vital components, according to a Wall Street Journal investigation. And authorities say Russia launched a massive missile attack on Kyiv shortly after what is believed to be Moscow's deadliest airstrike of the year on the Ukrainian capital, killed at least 31 people, including 5 children, and wounded more than 150. The attacks prompted deadly retaliatory strikes by Ukraine on key Russian targets. 8 years after World War II, Hungary has commemorated the thousands of Hungarian Roma, often referred to as gypsies, who perished in the Holocaust. Under pressure from the European Union and amid growing public unrest, Ukraine's parliament on Thursday passed a law restoring the independence of the nation's two key anti-corruption agencies, a move widely seen as vital to its European Union membership ambition. And Dirk Sora, the Dutch media entrepreneur who founded one of Russia's few independent newspapers, the Moscow Times, died at the age of 72 following an accident, his family confirmed in a statement. Brazil's Supreme Court ordered former President Bolsonaro to be placed under house arrest, escalating a high-stakes legal battle over accusations that he attempted to orchestrate a military coup to block the transfer of power following the 2022 election. The move comes after Bolsonaro allegedly violated a court-imposed social media ban and curfew while his trial looms. And Budapest mayor accused of helping organize a banned LGBTQ plus pride rally said Saturday he would be proud of his grandchildren someday. Read that he was prosecuted for speaking out against the authoritarian system of Hungarian Prime Minister. With much of the world focused on Gaza, hundreds of thousands of people under siege in Sudan's western region cried for attention as they are running out of food and come under constant artillery and drone barrages. U.S. President Donald Trump may be forgiven for not knowing her personally, yet Victoria certainly knows him and the impact of Trump's decision on her portfolio, including firing the nation's top statistician and seeking a new Federal Reserve governor. Moscow was pondering options in its war against Ukraine including a pause on airstrikes ahead of the arrival of U.S. Envoy Steve Witkoff. And one of Pakistan's main courts has suspended an independent commission that would investigate the misuse of the country's blasphemy laws after pressure from Islamic hardliners, sources told Wordy News. In a major shift from the binary approach to arming Ukraine, four European nations have announced the purchase of $1 billion worth of U.S. weapons under a new NATO-led initiative spearheaded by President Donald Trump and NATO Secretary General Mark Rutte. U.S. President Donald Trump claimed that great progress has been made during high-stakes talks in Moscow between his special envoy Steve Witkoff and Russian President Vladimir Putin, aimed at ending the ongoing war in Ukraine. However, Trump did not offer specifics about the outcome of the three-hour discussion. U.S. President Trump is seeking a direct face-to-face meeting with Russian President Putin as early as next week in a bold move to end Moscow's war against Ukraine, officials confirmed. And Russia and China conducted joint anti-submarine warfare drills in the Sea of Japan, just days after U.S. President Donald Trump ordered two nuclear submarines to reposition near Russian waters following incendiary remarks by former Russian president. And President Donald Trump has doubled tariffs on Indian imports to 50%, accusing New Delhi of propping up Russia's war efforts by continuing to import and resell Russian oil. Italy's government has officially approved a $13.5 billion, $15.6 billion, plan to construct the world's largest suspension bridge connecting the island of Sicily to the mainland over the Strait of Messina. Long debated, often canceled, and frequently politicized, the project is now being fast-tracked with new justification, national security. Iran executes nuclear scientists accused of spying for Israel. The Iranian judiciary announced Wednesday that it has executed Ruzib Vadi, a prominent nuclear scientist accused of spying for Israel and providing intelligence that led to the assassination of Iranian nuclear personnel during the 12-day war with Israel in June. And Pakistan's Senate has voted to remove the death penalty for two crimes in what officials admit is a bid to safeguard $3 billion in annual trade benefits from the European Union while maintaining controversial blasphemy laws that have sent dozens of Christians to death row. And Switzerland was hours away from facing the highest U.S. tariffs on imports of any developed country after its president left Washington without a deal, upsetting the Altai nation's business elite. Switzerland's in shock over Trump's 39% tariff. Armenia and Uzbekistan have signed a peace deal at the White House that will end decades of armed conflict that killed tens of thousands and led to the expulsion of more than 100,000 mainly Christian Armenians from the disputed territory. The leaders of both nations want to nominate U.S. President Donald J. Trump for the Nobel Peace Prize as he brokered the historic agreement. And Indonesia's Catholic bishops have expressed concern about mounting anti-Christian violence in the world's largest Muslim nation. They urged the central government in Jakarta to act decisively against all forms of intolerance, particularly when accompanied by violence, which they stressed constitutes a criminal defense. And Armenia and Uzbekistan signed a historic peace agreement at the White House, formally ending nearly four decades of territorial conflict and opening a new chapter in South Caucasus geopolitics. The accord, brokered by U.S. President Donald Trump, cements Washington's strategic foothold in a volatile region bordering Iran and deep within the Soviet sphere. And President Donald Trump has quietly authorized the use of U.S. military forces against the Latin American drug cartels that his administration has officially classified as foreign terrorist organizations, according to reports by the New York Times and the New York Post. The move represents the most aggressive escalation yet in Trump's long-running campaign to dismantle transnational narcotics networks flooding the United States with fentanyl and other illicit drugs. And Russian President Putin has presented the Trump administration with a sweeping ceasefire proposal in Ukraine that would require Kyiv to cede significant territory in exchange for a halt to hostilities, European and Ukrainian officials told the Wall Street Journal. And U.S. President Donald Trump says he is prepared to meet Russian President Putin as early as next week, despite Moscow's refusal to include Ukrainian President Zelensky in peace discussions. U.S. President Donald Trump came under mounting pressure Monday to rethink his summit with Russian President Putin amid fears he will negotiate on ending the Russian war against Ukraine without consulting Kyiv. And a powerful 6.1 magnitude earthquake struck northwest Turkey Sunday evening, killing at least one person and injuring 29 others, causing more than a dozen buildings to collapse. In pouring rain, people shed tears for those who died or were injured when exactly 8 years ago, the U.S. dropped a devastating nuclear bomb on this Japanese city of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. The destruction of Nagasaki soon forced Japan to surrender, bringing World War II to a close. And European leaders have raised the pressure on U.S. President Trump to involve Ukraine in a planned summit with its Russian counterpart, Vladimir Putin, on ending the war in Ukraine, where officials said Russia shelling and drone attacks killed numerous people. President Donald Trump has extended a temporary suspension of tariffs on Chinese imports for another 90 days, averting for now a potential escalation in the trade war between the world's two largest economies. Russian troops have launched a sudden and rare penetration of Ukraine's defensive lines near a city of Dnipropetrovsk, pushing several miles into Donetsk province just days before President Putin meets with President Trump in Alaska. Ukraine's President Zelensky arrived in Germany's capital, Berlin, to join a video conference with European leaders and U.S. President Trump amid concerns over Trump's upcoming summit with Russia President Putin. Zelensky and other leaders want to ensure that no deal will be agreed between Washington and Moscow over ending the war in Ukraine without Kyiv's involvement. And Serbia's president, facing protests over his perceived authoritarian style, says he does not intend to run in the next presidential election. The United States and China clashed sharply at the UN Security Council meeting over growing concerns about control and influence over the Panama Canal, a critical waterway that links the Atlantic and Pacific Oceans and is vital to global trade. In the decision move that signals mounting international pressure on Tehran, Britain, France, and Germany, collectively known as the E3, have informed the United Nations they are prepared to reinstate UN-mandated sanctions on Iran if no diplomatic resolution is reached regarding its nuclear programs by the end of August. And President Trump is set to speak with Ukrainian President Zelensky and key European leaders on Wednesday morning, just 2 days before a high-stakes one-on-one summit with Russian President Putin in Anchorage, Alaska. The diplomatic blitz comes amid renewed efforts to negotiate an end to the three-year Russian-Ukrainian war. And U.S. Secretary of State Marco Rubio announced that the Trump administration is advancing efforts to officially designate the Muslim Brotherhood as a terrorist organization, a move long championed by Republican lawmakers and many Middle East allies. And Christian worshippers ran for their lives as a magnitude 5.8 earthquake struck during Indonesia's 80th Independence Day celebration, injuring dozens in central Sulawesi, Worthy News learned. European and NATO military alliance leaders announced that they will join Ukrainian President Zelensky in Washington for crucial talks with U.S. President Trump on ending the war in Ukraine. They rallied around the Ukrainian leader after his exclusion from Trump's summit with Russian President Putin. In a potential breakthrough that could help end Europe's bloodiest conflict in decades, Russia has reportedly agreed to extensive security protections for Ukraine as part of a possible peace deal. And Ukrainian President Zelensky says he will travel to Washington for talks with President Donald Trump following the U.S.-Russian summit in Alaska that raised hopes but delivered few details on ending the war in Ukraine. And Nicaragua's authoritarian socialist government has expropriated the Catholic San Jose school in the city of Genotape amid broader crackdown on Christians expressing their faith in the Central American nation, church sources said. And Russian President Vladimir Putin on Friday thanked U.S. President Trump for a trustworthy tone about a conversation on ending the war in Ukraine and invited Trump to Moscow. A tense political and security standoff continued in Serbia as riots erupted, where supporters of the ruling Serbian Progressive Party clashed with anti-government protesters, hurling flares and firecrackers and prompting police intervention. U.S. President Donald Trump shook hands with Russian counterpart Putin at the U.S. Joint Base Elmendorf in Anchorage, Alaska, to discuss a path to peace for the Europe's bloodiest conflict since World War II, raging in Ukraine. Their summit comes after another night of Russian airstrikes in Ukraine and Kyiv responding with drone attacks in Russia. Ukraine says Russia launched 2 ballistic missiles and nearly 100 drones overnight in more than a dozen locations across the country, as Moscow claimed it intercepted scores of Ukrainian drones over land and sea. In a major setback for Ukraine facing relentless Russian attacks, U.S. President Donald Trump said a ceasefire was not necessary to negotiate an end to the Ukrainian-Russian war. A Chinese technology company has announced bold plans to release what it calls the world's first gestation robot, a humanoid machine designed to carry a baby in an artificial womb embedded within its abdomen. And Bolivia's decades-long experiment with socialism was decisively rejected at the ballot box Sunday as voters punished the ruling government towards socialism for economic collapse and moral scandal. The result signals a historic shift away from leftist politics and toward a more open future for both free markets and faith. The United States is considering organizing a meeting between Russian President Putin and Ukrainian President Zelensky in the Hungarian capital Budapest, according to several U.S. sources familiar with the plan. And China is preparing to unveil powerful new underwater drones during a major military parade in Beijing on September 3rd, marking the 80th anniversary of the end of the Second Sino-Japanese War. And President Donald Trump announced that he has begun arranging a trilateral meeting between the United States, Russia, and Ukraine following high-level talks with European leaders at the White House. And desperate people searching remote areas for bodies swept away by weekend flash floods in Pakistan, neighboring India-administered Kashmir and Nepal, which killed hundreds and displaced thousands. Iran and Belarus signed a wide-ranging package of agreements aimed at boosting cooperation in defense, industry, and trade, while presenting a united front against Western sanctions. 2 German fighters were scrambled overnight from Romania as Russia unleashed one of its largest missile drone attacks in weeks on Ukraine, with strikes landing less than a mile from NATO territory. President Donald Trump said that Ukraine would have to continue attacking targets inside Russia if it hoped to win the war, even as Moscow unleashed a massive new bombardment on Ukrainian cities, including a strike that destroyed an American-owned electronics plant. The United States and European Union unveiled a sweeping trade framework that both sides cast as a reset for the world's largest economic relationship, averting a damaging tariff escalation that had threatened to spiral into a trade war. And President Trump has ordered the Pentagon to deploy 3 Navy-guided missile destroyers off the coast of South America, expanding the U.S. military's role in combating drug cartels and intensifying tensions with Venezuelan President Maduro. The Ukrainian Air Force says Russia has launched one of its biggest aerial attacks of the year on Ukraine, firing 574 drones and 40 ballistic missile cruisers overnight. The reported deadly strike came despite fresh diplomatic efforts to end the three-year war. Multiple postal services around Europe announced that they are suspending the shipment of many packages to the United States amid a lack of clarity over new import duties. Postal services in Germany, Denmark, Sweden, and Italy said they will stop shipping most merchandise to the United States effective immediately. France and Austria will follow Monday, and the United Kingdom on Tuesday. Under the decree signed by President Trump last month, international goods that were previously exempt from U.S. tariffs, those valued under $800, will be subject to import duties from August 29th. Letters, books, gifts, and small parcels worth less than $100 will continue to be exempt. A trade framework agreement by the U.S. and the European Union last month set a 15% tariff on the vast majority of products shipped from the European Union. Many European postal services say they are pausing deliveries now because they cannot guarantee the goods will enter the U.S. before August 29th. They cite ambiguity about what kind of goods are covered by the new rules and the lack of time to process their implications. Starting Saturday, the German Post and DHL Parcel Germany said they will no longer be able to accept and transport parcels and postal items containing goods from business customers destined for the U.S. If reports of Hamas' acceptance of a ceasefire and hostage release deals are true, Israel's military chief of staff says it's a turning point in the war. The latest proposal, almost identical to one proposed weeks ago by U.S. Middle East envoy Steve Witkoff, would involve a 60-day truce, the release of all Israeli hostages, living and dead, the release of Palestinian prisoners held by Israel, a halt to Israel's planned invasion of Gaza City, and the formation of a governing body for the Gaza Strip. Both Prime Minister Netanyahu and Defense Minister Katz say Israel's pending military offensive to destroy Hamas is the reason for the terror group's change of heart. It may also have been aided by a social media post suggesting from President Trump saying, "We will only see the return of the remaining hostages when Hamas is confronted and destroyed." 80 years ago, last week, Japan surrendered to the Allies, marking the end of World War II. This past Memorial Day, a remarkable group of veterans gathered at Iwo Jima to remember the fight on what was to become a hallowed ground. CBN News was there. Prime Minister Netanyahu encouraged troops from the IDF's Gaza division yesterday. He continued to weigh options for a ceasefire and hostage release after a last-minute approval by Hamas, even Israeli forces are poised to carry out Operation Gideon's Chariot 2 to conquer Gaza City. Yesterday also marked the first Ilya flight since the October 7, 2023, Hamas massacre and kidnappings. More than 200 North American Jews immigrated to Israel despite the war. Some of the new Israelis say they were fulfilling a lifelong dream and felt honored to be part of Israel amid conflict and raging global anti-Semitism. And a Russian attack on Ukraine has dimmed hopes for a timely solution to the end of the 42-month war. President Trump is considering air support for Ukrainian and help for European troops. Israel Prime Minister Netanyahu approved the IDF's plans for a Gaza City offensive to defeat Hamas as Israel continues to negotiate over a ceasefire with the provision that a deal with Hamas must include the release of all hostages. CBS News went inside the Gaza Strip to see firsthand how the Gaza Humanitarian Foundation has been able to distribute more than 130 million meals in 3 months, even as the UN and other international leaders have bad-mouthed the U.S.-led effort, which is staffed with retired military veterans who say it is their most important mission. CBN News spoke with Gaza residents who are grateful to have the food. The Department of Homeland Security is reportedly defunding groups with ties to terrorists. A Middle East Forum report last month showed the U.S. gave $25 million in grants to Islamic groups affiliated with terrorists from 2013 to 2023. And finally, Canada is dropping many of its 25% tariffs on goods made in the United States, with the change set to take effect on September 1st, Prime Minister Mark Carney said Friday. Tariffs on vehicles, steel, and aluminum will remain in place, Carney said during a news conference. President Donald Trump in July initially imposed a 35% tariff on Canadian goods. The two countries have attempted to negotiate a deal, but so far failed to reach an agreement before a U.S.-imposed deadline of August 1st. A White House official told NBC News Carney's announcement was well overdue. We look forward to continuing our discussions with Canada on the administration's trade and national security concerns, the official told NBC. Carney told Canadians that around 85% of goods being traded with the United States are still tariff-free, as they are subject to the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Free Trade Agreement, which was signed during Trump's first term in office. The Prime Minister said he still hoped to reach some kind of agreement on tariffs with Trump. The two leaders met Thursday to discuss trade. As we work to address outstanding trade issues with the U.S., it is important we do everything we can to preserve this unique advantage for Canadian workers and their families, Carney said Friday. A round of tariffs of various levels imposed by Trump on several countries took effect earlier in the month. On Thursday, the United States and European Union announced the framework of a trade deal that would result in a blanket 15% tariff on UN goods. And this concludes our weekly global news report brought to you by Mulberry Christian Radio. Till next time, have a blessed week.